yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm an emotional person. I know that. Thanks. It is what it is. Yeah, who isn't? I guess some people are more emotional than others. Somebody said the other day. No, it was yesterday. I'm a feeler. Martin, you're a feeler. All right, I own it. I feel things. I have my ups and downs, and we all do. And I've been through a lot of hard stuff in the past 5 years, and it gets to me once in a while. I can't handle it. But I guess I can, because here I am. I guess I can. Sometimes God just keeps you hanging on. Sometimes by a fingernail. Sometimes by a thread. Sometimes by dental floss. Sometimes by a dust mite. It's very thin, and it's supposed to be this way. We're supposed to be living on the edge. If you're not on the edge, if you're comfortable, if you're in a rut, then you're really not living. And so I'd rather do it this way. And I'm coming through this here life one time. That's it. I've told God. That's it. One time. I'm done. I'm going to make sure that I get everything done, everything out of the way, everything taken care of now, because I'm not coming back. We're going to get to a verse today in Hebrews that people used to refute reincarnation, which, of course, reincarnation should be refuted because it's false, but some people use this verse to disprove it, but you can't disprove it from this verse. There's other verses that disprove it, but not this one. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I'm coming here once. I'm passing through this life, and I'm going to just take, just like I told God, this is hard to say to him. You really got to be careful, but I'm not too careful. I just say, go ahead, give it to me. Give me what I need. Give me what I need to train me, to get me ready for my job among the celestials when I'm snatched away from this hellhole, and taken into my celestial glory. Somebody had a dream about me the other day. I was in a car, this person said, and there were three bubbles that were near the car. And these bubbles were kind of like the bubbles that Glinda the Good Witch floated in on, in The Wizard of Oz. And there were three bubbles. I got out of the car, and then this was related to me. And then I ascended into heaven and entered a door. It was full of light, and the door opened, and light came pouring forth. That was my invention of the noise. The person relating this to me didn't say that there was any noise, but anyway, the light was shown, and I walked through the door into the light. And I really liked that. It's kind of like Field of Dreams, only with light instead of corn. So I was glad about that. So yeah, I go through stuff, and I'm tempted to withhold it from you. It's like, oh geez, Zender's having another meltdown, but what's the use? Why should I withhold it from you? I'm honest, and I don't want you to think that I'm some, as people think I'm some paragon of, I'm just rock solid. Well, I am in my faith, but I'm just like everybody else in their day-to-day crap that you have to go through. And so I go through, sometimes I think I go through worse stuff. But then there are always people worse off than you. So obviously there are so many people worse off than me, and I feel for those people. I'm emotional, yes, but I've become more empathetic over the years. That's what trial has done to me. And I'm wondering if this is part of what I'm going to be doing in the celestials, feeling sorry for celestial beings. No, just understanding their plight, because I have a plight, you see. I'm in a plight, and they have a plight. We all have a plight. We're plight-ridden. It's, paint the plight fantastic, and it's not too fantastic when you're going through it. But I know that when we look back, this life is going to seem like a dream in the night. So thank you for your patience and your love of me. As I mentioned in the newsletter, if you haven't seen the newsletter, I sent it Saturday. Check your inbox. And if you get a benefit out of anything I do, whether it's the show or this show, if you listen to the audios and like, wow, Martin, this is my lifeline. I love this. Or you read the newsletter, or you read my website. Feel free to contribute to the cause, because that's a real encouragement to me, and it's the only way that I can keep going. In fact, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So really, the glory and the benefit, the value comes back to you by supporting. As I tell people, you're backing the right horse, because this stuff this truth that I teach is changing people's lives. And it's costing me my nervous system, my blood, sweat, and tears. And if you can help me a little bit in the contribution department, that would be great. So go to my website, martinzender.com. Enough of that. So here we are back in Hebrews. Now I'm going to read you Hebrews 9. I think we left off there, verse 24. For Christ entered not into holy places made by hands, representations of the true. Now get this. Any holy place made by hands is only a representation of the true. Now back in the day, there was unapproved, unappointed representation, and it was the tabernacle. But when Jesus Christ died, the veil was rent in two, and God no longer dwelt in their tabernacle. Now he dwells in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. So it was all just a representation, a shadow. So when you graduate into the substance, why do you still need the shadow? Let me answer that question for you. You don't. So the church buildings today are a shadow, and any kind of ceremony you go through is a shadow. Any kind of law you think you're going to keep. No, the law was right back in the day, but it's not right now. As I like to say, why don't you just go build an ark or take your little sheep to Jerusalem? For Christ, verse 24, Hebrews 9, entered not into holy places made by hands, representations of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to be disclosed to the face of God for our sakes. Now this is a message to Israel. Hebrews is written by Paul to Israel. Now get this, Jesus entered into heaven itself because everything on earth is a model based on heaven. There is a heavenly tabernacle, I believe. There's a heavenly city, and all the things we see on earth are a shadow or a type of that. So Jesus went into heaven itself now to be disclosed to the face of God for our sake. So he brought the blessings from heaven to earth. This message to the Hebrews is heavenly. It's heavenly in character, but it's brought to earth, to Israelites, from Jesus Christ for their sake. Presents his blood to God in the celestial tabernacle. His sacrifice is approved. Now he turns back to Israel, and he's gonna cut the new covenant with them. He's going to put his law in their hearts, all by the virtue of his death. His death on the cross was the common denominator between the circumcision gospel and the uncircumcision gospel. There are things that these two evangels have in common. The blood of Christ is one of them. That should be obvious. Verse 25, nor yet is it that he may be offering himself often. Now thank God for that. Even as the chief priest is entering into the Holy of Holies year by the blood of others. This is what I, as a kid, during Good Friday when they reenacted the Passion of Christ, they talked about all the torture and all the suffering he went through. I hated it for him. I was emotional even then as a kid. I'm still emotional. I haven't changed. I used to cry for Jesus. And I'm so happy that he didn't have to suffer often. He doesn't have to offer himself often. He doesn't have to come back to earth every 33 years. Thank God. It was once for all. And that is, again, the big, big contrast between the old tabernacle system and Jesus Christ now presenting a new way to the Hebrews. And this is being rehearsed to the Hebrews over and over and over again by Paul. We may think it's common knowledge, but it wasn't to them. This helps explain this language that just keeps hashing over the same points, and it's because that this was a new thing. We forget that. We forget how nobody had ever heard in Israel of the new covenant. Everything was the old. So now we see new and we see better in Hebrews. Remember that if you remember nothing else. Hebrews is about new and Hebrews is about better. So he doesn't need to offer himself often, even as the chief priest is entering into the Holy of Holies year by the blood of others. The blood of others. Yeah, the chief priest didn't have to slit his wrist, did he? Chief priest didn't have to prick his finger or get a transfusion of any kind or be killed. Chief priest, you know, it was a really prestigious job in Israel. It wouldn't have been that way, and it wouldn't have been a real sought-after office if the chief priest himself had to be sacrificed, lay on the altar, drive a knife through his heart, or slit his throat. No, nobody would have signed up for it, really, I don't think. But Jesus Christ offered himself. What a contrast. What a contrast. If it was like that, then he must often be suffering from the disruption of the world. Speaking of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ was like the high priest, then he'd have to be suffering again and again from the disruption of the world, because that's when sin entered. But no, because he's higher and better than the priest, he only suffers once. Yet now once, there it is, verse 26, yet now once, at the conclusion of the eons, for the repudiation of sin through his sacrifice is he manifest. That's a mouthful. Love that verse. For once, at the conclusion of the eons, King James says, and NIV and NASB say, at the end of the world, the end of the world. He's not manifest at the end of the world. The world didn't end then. He's manifest in the first century back then, one time, at the conclusion of the eons. I'm going to get back to that, but look at this. For the repudiation of sin, how clear can it be? He came to take away sin. John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, hear that backed up here. For the repudiation of sin, through his sacrifice, is he manifest. All right, I want to go back and close with this thought in verse 26. Yet now once, at the conclusion of the eons. I believe that Jesus Christ came at the conclusion of the eons. In other words, the eons began to conclude when Jesus Christ came in 3 AD, whatever year he was born. So picture the coming of Christ, the manifestation of Christ, say when he was announced at the Jordan River by John the Baptist. That's in the Aeonian calendar, on the Aeonian calendar. That's hump day. That's the watershed. That's where things start to conclude. At the conclusion of the eons, he is manifest. That tells me that we are 2,000 years on the downslope of this thing. And we're heading for the weekend, as I like to say. And you know what the weekend on the Aeonian calendar is. You don't? Okay, the weekend on the Aeonian calendar is eons 4 and 5. There are 5 eons. Eons 1, 2, and 3 are evil eons. Eon 3, the one we're slogging through, is the most evil of them all. Paul calls it the current wicked eon in Galatians 1:4. So Christ was crucified in this wicked eon. And picture there two, the Christ came in eon 3, so that's the centerpiece eon. So picture now two eons to the left of it, two eons to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle with you. That's probably what Jesus Christ sang. So two eons to the left, two eons to the right. He's in the middle. He came at the conclusion of the eon. So that was the apex. That was the pinnacle of evil. Now, I know it seems like things are getting more evil, and they are in a sense, but now we're heading down the slope. We're heading toward the weekend. And we have to look forward to eons 4 and 5. And even before the inauguration of eon 4, we are going to be snatched away to be with Christ, to meet him in the air, to be with him forever, and that could happen any day. It doesn't depend on any signs, on any Israelite types. It doesn't depend on the harvest season. It could happen in October, yeah, sure. It could happen on February the 3rd or the 2nd. It could happen on Groundhog Day. When it happens, just come quickly, Lord Jesus.